This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ooh, this beat is good. Ooh, I love it. Ooh, I love it. You guys, that is just a little taste. I know it's not our normal Everything Iconic music, but we're opening with something special this week. He's a fellow LGBTQ artist. His name is Jeffrey Austin, and I just played the beat, but his voice is fantastic. He's from The Voice. He was a contestant on The Voice. I don't watch The Voice. I don't. I've seen a lot of GIFs of Christina Aguilera from The Voice, but I do not watch it regularly. But he was a contestant. His name is Jeffrey Austin, and that's his new song, Answer. And I heard it, and I was like, this is a bop. This is a pop bop, a summer pop bop. And I hope everyone goes and downloads it and supports. Look for it on iTunes, Spotify, wherever. And that beat is just so good. Oh, I love it. Hello, and welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. Wow, what a week, you guys. I am still on a high, on a Bonnie Hunt high from my Bonnie Hunt episode. You guys, it was so thrilling for me. So if you haven't listened to it, I hope you'll go back and listen to it. It was my favorite episode. Hands down, my favorite. We put a lot of extra production work in, you know, putting those audio clips from her performances in the episode. And I did my best, but I was so excited, so nervous. And that's why I had to keep prefacing. I was like, I'm nervous. Because I know otherwise people will write me. People still will write me and say, you know, what a shitty job you did. But it is what it is. I didn't even care. I was on a hunt high. Now, I also want to mention that June is Gay Pride Month. So happy Gay Pride, everyone. Yay. This is a big gay podcast. So I just want to say happy Gay Pride to all of the allies and the gays out there and the people who maybe aren't comfortably gay yet. Maybe they're gays in the future gays. Gays of the future. I want to welcome you to Everything Iconic. And, oh my God, you guys, I have a Gay Pride story for you guys. Okay. Is everyone sitting down? Pull over. If you're driving. So everyone's been asking me, let me just back up. Everyone's been asking me for Martha updates. Now, I haven't had any Martha updates because I recently moved. So Martha was my cleaning lady at my old apartment. Now, yes, I did plan on having her clean my new apartment, but we've just been in a transition period. And so I hadn't gotten her to my new apartment. But since talking to you guys, I have gotten her here. And while you guys, the tables have turned. So let me just back up even more. If you are new to Everything Iconic, Martha is my cleaning lady. She used to come with Juan, and there was one particular instance, cover your ears if you don't like blue humor, but there was one instance when she threw me out of the way as I answered the door, and then she went into my bathroom and had explosive diarrhea, even though my walls are very thin. So I heard it all, and it was very disturbing, and it also became a bit of a running gag for Martha and I. She, you know, evidently loves poop humor and blue humor. So she really loved it. She got a real big kick out of the fact that me and her partner, Juan, heard her the entire time she was doing it. And then another time she left a Pop-Tart in my freezer and, you know, come to find out that it was possibly related to her bowel problems. But that's neither here nor there. The fact is, this all became a big joke, right? We were laughing. Martha was laughing along. She wanted me to talk about it on the show, and she loved that I was talking about it, blah, blah, blah. So finally, I get her to my new apartment, and she comes in. She comes with her new partner. She has a new – Juan's no longer with her. She's got a new lady, and she comes in. I have to have her here when Matt's gone because, let me tell you guys, Matt, I told you he's got all these robots in our apartment. So we have a pretty large apartment. I mean, much larger than my last one. My last one was like a one-bedroom, tiny little, you know, thing where you could hear everything. Well, my new apartment's bigger. It's a two-bedroom plus a den. There's like a little office. So it's a little bit bigger, more spread out. And there's robots everywhere. Matt is a techie. I, of course, live with Matt. And he's got all these robots in the house. So we have, you know, Alexas and Siris and all those people that talk to me all day long. There's cameras everywhere. It's like, it's intense. And you know how most people at your houses, you have like a little pet nook where you have, you know, the pet bed and the, you know, pet dog food bowls and water bowls and cat gyms or whatever the fuck those things are that cats, those little cat gyms. What are those called? Where the cats do their aerobics. You know, the little cat CrossFit area. It's like a tall, those tall things that go up really high and the cats do their little CrossFit on them, their wads. Anyway, most people have a little nook in their houses where they have pet stuff. Well, we have a little pet nook, but instead of pet stuff, it's robot cleaners. So we have a little nook with our robot vacuum, you know, the Roomba. That's what the robot vacuum is called. And then Matt also got the robot mop, which I don't even know what they call that one. But it looks like a Roomba, but it does the mopping. So we have one that does the vacuuming and one that does the mopping. And so I am taking Martha through the house and I'm showing her around and I'm showing her, you know, just some little tips with cleaning. And we get to the little pet area and she goes, "What's that?" And I had to explain to her. I said, "Those are our robot cleaners." You guys, look in Martha's face. I mean, she faced mortality. It was like that episode of Vanderpump Rules. Do you remember when Jax was in Vegas and he saw the Vegas robot bartender and he just had a look of fear in his eyes? That was the same look Martha had. It was her face. Her skin turned real pale. I mean, she immediately, I think, had diarrhea in her pants again. She had to run to the restroom. But she looked like she had seen God herself. And I, of course, explained. I said, "You know, Martha, like, we're still hiring you. Like, we still need you to clean the place. Like, these are just extra cleaners. These are just the robots. Like, Matt's kind of, they're his toys and he just likes them. I don't know." So I try to explain. I say, "Oh, we've got stuff all around the house. There's Alexa, there's Siri, there's all of these robots are throughout the house. That's just a thing." I should also mention that our speakers are all connected throughout the house. So if you're listening to something in the kitchen, it's playing in the fucking bathroom. Okay. It's everywhere. You know, it's something on Siri or Alexa. It's playing on every Siri and Alexa, which they're in every single room. It's a nightmare. My nightmare. You know, Martha, she, you know, gets the color back in her face. And she, her and her new partner, who they start cleaning. And while they clean, I thought, you know what? I'm just going to go outside. We have a little patio area that's a joint kind of community area for the apartment complex. I thought, I'll go out there. I'm reading a new book. I thought I'd bring my Kindle. It was a nice day, and I'd sit and enjoy my read. You know, relax. And I, you know, put on my, I turned off my computers, so I thought. So I thought, and went out onto the patio to, you know, unwind. There was one other girl out by the, you know, community area, but she was real quiet. And I just was so at peace. I was thinking about how fortunate I've been lately, how life has just been really, really great to me. And I'm just feeling really blessed and was still on my Bonnie Hunt high. I just felt like, wow, things are going great. And then I start to hear something and I wonder, I said, "What's that noise? You know, like, what is this?" It kind of perk my ears up a little bit to see if I can hear it a little bit better. And it's people having sex. You know, I recognize that sound. It's two men having sex. So my first instinct is to, you know, think about what they look like, is to imagine it in my head. And my second instinct is to, you know, find out where it's coming from. So I'm kind of trying to figure it out. And then I hear another sound coming in that's familiar to my ears. And that sound that I hear coming on top of the two men having sex is Miss Piggy's version of Santa Baby. Of course, Miss Piggy's from the Muppets. And, you know, she covered Santa Baby just as iconically as Kylie Minogue and Madonna and the Pussycat Dolls. There's also a version by Miss Piggy that, of course, I recognize immediately. I thought, oh, that's Miss Piggy's Santa Baby. How weird. And then I, you know, kind of giggled to myself. I was like, oh my God, it's the middle of, you know, a summer day. I look over at the other girl at the pool who is also paying attention now. She's hearing these sounds. So, of course, I'm thinking, who's listening to Santa Baby and watching gay porn? I'm judging.
And then I kind of like, you know, I make fun of myself in my head because I'm like, you know, you were just listening to Christmas music the other day. You had your Christmas playlist on. And then I'm, you know, you're turning the page of my book. And then I recognize, like, wait a minute. The sounds of those two men having sex sound familiar, too. Then I realize, you know, my new apartment's so connected. There's robots everywhere. All those Siris and Alexas, they're connected to all my computers and stuff. And so the sound, when you play something, it goes throughout the entire house. So all of them are interconnected. So if you play a song, you play something on your computer, it goes throughout the house. And Matt wasn't home. So then I realized, holy shit, these sounds, the sounds of gay sex, gay men having sex, and Miss Piggy doing her rendition of Santa Baby, those are coming from inside the house. Those are coming from my house, from my computer. So I run, my stomach drops, I get diarrhea, and I run into the house. I run in, and I see Martha in my office, and she's like kind of frantically at the computer trying to turn it off.
So apparently Martha had been dusting my keyboard, and she pressed play on one of the apps, and then when she went to the gay porn app, then when she went to go try to turn that off, she accidentally pressed play on the iTunes. So they were all blasting throughout my entire house on every Siri that's in every single room was playing this gay porn and Santa Baby. And she couldn't turn it off. So, you know, when you press a button, it presses them all. You know, Martha's not a computer expert. You know, she's not Sheldon Cooper from the Big Bang Theory. That's not Martha.
And then she looks at me and she just starts laughing. Like, she just starts cracking up. Like, she's never heard so. It was like she was, at a stand-up show or something. She's never laughed so hard in her goddamn life. And I look at my desktop computer, which is, again, connected to all the speakers throughout the house. You know, it's where I had been listening to Christmas music. You know, I was having a day the other day where I listened to my Christmas playlist. You know, I think that's fine. It's acceptable. Yeah, it's June. You know what? So what? So it turns out it's coming from my desktop computer. So the entire apartment complex could hear this gay sex and the Muppets doing their rendition of Santa Baby. And I've never been more mortified in my entire life. And Martha was just laughing at me. And it's like, how do I explain that? Am I proud of the fact that I was watching gay porn at one point? No. Is it my truth? Yes. Am I proud of the fact that I have Muppets, Miss Piggy's version of Santa Baby on my Christmas playlist playing in June? No, but is it my truth? Yes. So it's what happened. Martha had her comeuppets, and I can't imagine a better way to open Gay Pride Month than having gay porn and a Miss Piggy song play throughout my entire home. So I gave Martha a really great tip that day, and she left having seen some things and heard some things that she's probably never heard before. You know, has she heard gay sex or heard two gay men having sex before? Probably. Has she heard Miss Piggy cover Santa Baby? Probably not. So I'm sure Martha left that day, and she head on over to iTunes and downloaded Santa Baby, which, again, Miss Piggy's version is one of the tops. You know, it's like Madonna, Eartha Kitt, Miss Piggy. A true gay icon and a sound of the season. Anyway, everyone's been asking for a Martha update, so I'm finally glad that I've been able to share one and that, you know, she'll be back. The robots are not replacing her. You know, we'll have her come when Matt's not here, and hopefully next time I won't have inappropriate things playing on my computer. Again, am I proud of it? No. Is it my truth? Yes. It is what it is.
Okay, so Whitney's going to come out and recap Roni with me, so I'm excited about that, and then we're going to talk about Sex and the City. Before I do that, I want to say please follow me on social media, at Danny Pellegrino, on Twitter and Instagram, and on Facebook, it's facebook.com/PellegrinoDanny, and there's a new Everything Iconic Facebook group. I'm going to be doing a giveaway in there. We're also going to try to incorporate viewer questions, comments, topics, concerns. So if you guys are interested, call this number, leave a voicemail, and we'll try to play your voicemail on the show. So we're going to try to pick like one-ish a week, and then we'll do the rest on the after show for Patreon. But if you guys have any questions, comments, topics you want us to talk about, anything like that, please call this number. Everyone got a pen ready? Please write this down. Grab your pens. I'll wait for you to pull over. It's 323-230-3267. Again, that's 323-230-3267. I want to thank Samson Technologies. Samson Technologies is our sponsor. They've been great. Please go to Patreon. I just mentioned we're going to be answering some of those questions and stuff on Patreon. So you can join the Patreon and support this podcast by going to Patreon, that's patreon.com/everythingiconic. And for $4 or more per month, you get access to all the bonus episodes, and you're supporting this podcast and helping us make it. So please head on over there, and thank you all that already do. That's it. Let's bring out Whitney.
Okay, guys, I brought Whitney out here. Whitney's here. Hello. Whitney. Okay, Whitney, we're going to break down Maroni, which I can't wait. I'm very excited. It was another stellar week, as per usual. Yes. But before we do, we need to talk about something that's been in the public consciousness this past week, and it's Sex and the City. Sex and the City. Me too. Oh, my God. I love it so, so much. So the pilot premiered 20 years ago
that
last week.
So crazy.
It's so crazy, right?
That fact alarms me on multiple levels.
You know what really, really alarmed me was like I was trying to do the math in my head of the 20 years, yeah. You know, which you would think would be easy, but I couldn't figure out what year it was right now. So I was like sitting there, I was like, whoa,
are you in 90s.
I was like 97. And then I was like, wait a minute, what year are we in? And it literally took me 5 minutes to figure out what year we're in now. And then how many years is 20 years from today? So the show turned 20 and they were in their early 30s, which was revolutionary at the time to have this sort of romantic comedy show all about sex starring women in their 30s. And Samantha was in her 40s when the show started.
Right.
And that was huge because if you think about most of the shows that come out, specifically ones that are geared towards that kind of audience of women and gay men, they're usually women that are in their 20s.
Yeah. You know? Early 20s, mm-hmm. post-college, that kind of lifestyle.
Even Friends kind of ended when... at the age that Sex and the City began.
Right. Oh my gosh. When I did the math, I fairly...
math. This is a very math heavy episode.
When Friends came out on Netflix, I did a rewatch, obviously. And to do the math that they were like 23 when that show started was so alarming to me.
It's troubling.
Because first of all, they don't look... To me, they look older than that. Mm-hmm. But I think it was also because I was so young when that show came out that I always saw them as so much older that then to put myself in their place when I was like 23, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this is not how my life was. Yeah.
Totally.
But I will say that Sex and the City, comparing myself to their age as when the show started, I was like, oh yeah, that's kind of my life.
Oh,
like it felt more on, because I'm 34.
For sure. Or you're guessing.
Wait, I was born in 83.
Okay. Yeah, that's 35.
I'm going to be 35 this year.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
I'm a Virgo, so interesting. We'll get there. But, and I think like when it started, Carrie was like 32.
Yeah. You know, my all-time favorite episode is when she turns 35.
Right.
It's the opener of season 4. And I was going to get to this. I just rewatched it. And I watch it every year on my birthday. I think I might have mentioned that on the podcast. But it's my favorite episode. It's season 4, episode 1, The Agony and the Ecstasy. And it's when Samantha tries to sleep with the priest.
Yes.
And it's got my favorite line. It's got two of my favorite lines. One is Samantha looks bright and shiny. They're all together at lunch or dinner or whatever. Charlotte says, Samantha, you're glowing.
Samantha, your face is glowing. Did you get a facial or something?
I masturbated all afternoon.
All right, then.
Seriously? All afternoon?
Well, two and a half hours.
Who's got that kind of time? I like to get in and get out.
And she's just so proud and happy. It's just so, so good. And then also at the very end of the episode when Charlotte says about soulmates.
Don't laugh at me, but... maybe we could be each other's soulmates. And then we could let men be just these great, nice guys to have fun with.
And it's such a beautiful, you know, the dichotomy of that episode, you get the great, strong friendships of these women, but then you also get all the sex stuff, which is really fun.
Yeah, you're right. That is a good balanced episode about.
And I have a problem with the way the show's perceived now.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So I'm curious to get your take. But I find that because of the movies, which I would say the first movie is excellent. Like, I think the first movie is really good. And if you look at it as like a full season of the show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Totally.
Because it's not the way it's structured. It's not like a movie. It's more of.
It does feel like a mini series.
Yeah. Exactly. But it's great. Like, it would be one of the best seasons, I think, of the show.
I agree.
And then the second movie, was messy.
Oh,
it was
boy.
Messy. I still think it's
like
got...
You just forget it.
It's got parts.
Like what?
There's, like, a few things. Them singing I Am Woman
okay,
is pretty
I did. Yeah,
ridiculous
is really
and amazing. Miranda yelling... I'm trying to think. Is this Miranda or Luann yelling Yahabi B?
Yahabi B is...
Or Jill Zarin. You know, they all run together.
Habibi. Yeah, that was Luann.
Yeah, it was Luann.
Which I'm going to ask you, we're going to talk about who of the Roni women are, like the Samantha, Charlotte, Miranda,
okay,
and Carrie.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that in a little bit. Okay, so that was Luann. Not Sex and the City too. But there's also that great scene of Charlotte and Miranda talking about their kids and being mothers on the plane.
Yes. I just feel like I'm failing all the time.
You're not failing. Being a mother is hard.
Oh my God, it is so hard. And I have full-time help. How do the women without help do it?
I have no fucking idea. To them.
To them.
It's a great scene.
Yeah.
So I think there's moments...
In two that are good.
But I think overall, this narrative of the show being terrible or the whole franchise. I swear I read so many articles with the 20th anniversary. There's all these, you know, articles coming out. And I read so many that were just so negative about Sex and the City. And some of the criticisms I think were valid. I read something about LGBT community in Sex and the City. Mm-hmm. Like the way they're represented in the show was not great. Mm-hmm. And I agree with that. It was problematic.
There are some huge problematic holes from representation. But the positivity that came out of it, I feel like has so much more weight than the negative that mm-hmm. I'd love not to just ignore the negative, but to focus on how much it was so positive for women. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really could go on and on about it, but like it showed women in a whole new light. And I think that that means it has amazing value. I just think it has so much worth to it that to undercut it for the problematic in hindsight issues, because I think at the time it wasn't that problematic.
No, I think it was kind of a reflection of how people were at the time.
And right, how culturally.
It started in 98. I did that.
Yeah, Like, if you think, like, 98, I was in eighth grade in 98.
Mm-hmm,
like,
I was even younger because I'm such a baby.
Yes, you're so fresh so and young. I used to have to, in middle school,
I was
school,
just
I
born
argue.
That year.
In middle school, I would argue and lecture people, my peers, to stop using the F word, not fuck.
Fair.
The other,
yeah,
yes,
I can
thank
say
you. That. And I would, like, I made it a big deal because it's like, fuck you guys. Like, you wouldn't want, you know, like, so I get it. Like, then people just threw that word around. Like, mm-hmm. it was not a big deal. And to me, it was a big deal. But, you know, the general culture would say tranny left and right.
Do you remember growing up, I always felt like gay was used as an insult all the time. And then do you remember when
You're
those commercials came out where it was like Hillary Duff, she was trying on clothes at a store and then she overheard two people, one of them calling another one gay. She's like, "You're so gay." And then Hillary Duff comes out of the dressing room and she's like, "Hey guys, you can't say that word."
Was it like a PSA?
Yeah, it was a PSA. It was
Oh
my God. I gotta look it up.
That.
Right now.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was, I think it was right after she got her veneers.
I remember that.
Neither here nor there, but it's an important time in pop culture history when she got her veneers.
Because it took adjustment.
Totally. My eyes are still adjusting.
Okay, I'm very upset about this criticism. I did not know it really existed.
Oh, there's like a lot. I read so many articles and I also read so many tweets. You know, I go on Twitter too much. I probably followed too many people that are like pop culture critics online on Twitter. And so probably that's why I saw so much about it. But it was an overwhelming sense of negativity about the show. And then even when the Sex and the City 3 rumors and all that drama was happening between the girls, it was like, we don't need another one. It was terrible. And I know the last one was bad, but I still wanted the third one.
I still really enjoy the characters. And I think if you brought that world back right now, it would be hard. You would need to talk about so many things. Because the show was always a political show, mm-hmm. whether you mm-hmm. want to see it that way or not. Like, it was progressive.
Yeah.
So inherently that makes it political. So it would be very hard to do it in this time. And I don't think then everyone would love it.
Yeah.
But I mean, I would love to see the characters going through what they are now.
This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft, and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else.
Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
I mean, are we talking about the positivity of Sex and the City?
Yeah, there's so much.
First of all, okay, so how did you watch it? Did you like sneak it as a kid?
I remember two of my very best friends, Beth Mishkin and Judith, they used to watch it regularly when we were in high school. So it was towards the end of the run, but I remember they got really into it and we were really close friends. And so I would kind of see it with them, or they would talk about it and I would hear about it. And then at the very end, the last season, I remember watching the last couple of episodes as they were airing.
Oh, okay.
And then never watched it again, but I remember kind of being intrigued. And then when I moved to LA, my friend Michael Ross, he gave me all the DVDs. He had them, and I binged them all. And I was obsessed with it. Obsessed.
Yeah. It was my first binge show. Yeah. When I got to college, there was one summer where I stayed in my college small town. And I bought all the DVDs and just watched them all summer long, like on repeat. It immediately was something I wanted to keep watching and then wanted to rewatch again.
It's so rewatchable.
Yeah. And so it came to me in a time of my life where I already was like on a path of being some sort of like self-made woman, that sex is for pleasure and all of these things. I think one of the positive aspects that it shows is that women are not constrained by other men. Mm-hmm. Like, I know it's all centered about finding love, and that is its own thing. Like, it is a rom-com in that way. But all of the characters are so self-motivated. Mm-hmm. Like, they have their own careers. They have their own fashion sense, and they have their own personality flaws that we get to see.
They're so flawed.
It's so great. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, like, especially when the show probably came out, there was like no like real flawed women.
Carrie is so fucked up. She's an awful human, but she's also very real, I think.
Right. And she's likable because she's so open. Mm-hmm. That's what I think, how you can kind of get away with that. But I just love the idea that like it showed women having sex for pleasure, period. This will, you know, like be in the history books just for that alone. I find the conversation around the Samantha character to be fascinating as the years go by, because I think like in the time it was like, she's just a slut. That's all she is. And now I think we look back on her and she actually is just like she's the most like feminist woman because she's going to get what she wants, how she wants it.
She's totally in control of
her
body.
And she's totally in control of her body. And she doesn't have to, you know, play into the culture of how a woman is supposed to be. She can be, you know, the alpha, and she also is the fucking boss at work. Like, she is a great character, but I think people just get distracted by the sex and they're like, oh, that's all she is, which that alone is a fascinating POV to have.
Well, and I think as the series went on and with the movies and stuff, she sort of started to become a cartoon almost, because I think they, writing wise, I feel that they saw that it was working, that all those like sex metaphors and all the funny jokes and quips and stuff, those were working. And I feel like they leaned into it a little bit much and then tried to get her humanity back with the cancer storyline. So there was, I think, a little bit of a time when she got lost and became a little bit of a cartoon.
I think I agree with that.
Okay, so I want to talk about the future of the franchise. So HBO was tweeting about the anniversary. There were all these articles. The girls even gave interviews, like Sarah Jessica Parker gave an interview for, I don't know, one of the outlets. And then Cynthia Nixon is selling Miranda merch for her governor run. She's running for governor. And so I'm curious, what do you think the future of the franchise is? So that we had two movies. We had the Carrie Diaries, which was like the prequel, which was very cute. If no one's watched it, I recommend.
I haven't.
You should watch it. Okay. It's like very good, well-made, very cute. It was very good. And Samantha comes in season two, and it's like the girl who plays Samantha is fantastic.
Oh.
It's a good show. Like, okay. But so I wonder, where do you think it's headed next? Like, they're not going to stop this franchise because they're still talking. It's 20 years since it premiered, and HBO is still milking that cow. It's like they're not going to just stop this, but where do you think it'll go? Do you think it'll be a reboot? Do you think it'll be...
I think if Cynthia Nixon wins the governorship, it's dead in the water.
But you don't think that... I think HBO would be smart to just do a new Sex and the City, call it Sex and the City, not in the way that Girls kind of followed a little bit of that mold, because I actually think Girls was very different.
Yeah.
But I would love
to... I thought it was weird that people compared it to Sex and the City to begin with, but...
It was very, very different. Same with like Looking, people compared, said that was the gay Sex in the City, or, you know, a lot of these. I would love to see them reboot it with four new characters that were in that mold, you know, and call it Sex in the City. And I would like to have them, you know, be multicultural, maybe an LGBT, you know,
in this day and age,
but keep it in that same world, have the narration. you know, have the same kind of mold and reboot it that way. And just, I would like it even to have the same world. So the same characters, the characters from the original could pop in and out throughout the city, but it'd be about 430 something characters in New York. Mm-hmm. That's how I would like to see it go on.
Interesting. I don't know if it can, I don't know if it would be a good shadow, because I feel like the city is so different now. Like the chasm between like rich and not rich in that city is pretty gross. Yeah. And I think what you're going to have like an Instagram star be a Carrie
podcaster.
Ooh.
I'm willing to do it with me. I'm willing to be one of the characters.
I mean, I'll just say I would love to see any show about 30 somethings living in a big city and having friendships, because we're getting that through The Housewives, and we'll talk about New York in that way. But I would love to see it in less of a reality light and more of like a narrative.
You know what is also great that I love? I've talked about it last season on this show, but The Bold Type.
Love
and
it.
It's so good. You watch it too.
Yeah. If anything, I feel like that is the Sex and the City that you're wanting.
I know. And I would just encourage everyone to start watching it. Season two just started on Hulu. You can watch it, but it's going to be on Freeform, but they put the premiere up early.
Oh, okay.
And it's super cute. And the premiere was great. And also I've heard from people that work in the on the show that this season is very, very good.
Ooh, I'm excited. So, yeah, so I loved it.
It's so good. It's so, so good. It's about these three girls who work at like a Cosmo-esque magazine.
And they hang out in the closet. Like, you know, like the Vogue closet that like Carrie gets drunk in at one point.
Yes.
Like that kind of like, so you're surrounded by all the, like the beautiful clothes, but then they're having girl chat. It's so smart.
Yeah,
I love
it's
that
very,
show.
Very good. And the three leads, the three girls that are friends, they stay friends and they're so supportive of each other. They have a good relationship. And it's more about their relationships.
And they challenge each other.
They challenge each other. It's smart. It's like wish fulfillment. There's great music. It's pretty. And it's, you know, they
it's
live
everything
in, they
that
live apartments
wanting.
That they don't, wouldn't be able to afford in real life.
Yes.
And there are certain aspects of their job that it's like, wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
In real life. But it's so fun to watch. So
it's
everyone.
So good. And then there's just such a good like female relationship with the boss and everything. Mm-hmm. And it still has fun fashion, but it's definitely like in the Forever 21 world.
Mm-hmm.
Which I like, you know.
I'm obsessed with it. I think it was last season maybe my favorite show to watch each week. Like I looked forward to it the most.
Yeah.
Not counting Roni.
Okay, but going back to your question, if Cynthia doesn't win the governorship, they should do a reboot, a four-parter miniseries on HBO, and it should be the three women that want to be participants, and it should be Samantha dies, and it's like a la First Wives Club, where they like kind of get back together. Like they've probably grown apart a little bit, but Samantha's death brings them back together. Mm-hmm. We check in, we see what's going on.
You know, Laura Marie Shainholz, she was on our show, and she hosts the Sexy Unique podcast. She has a new podcast out called, I think it's Saving Sex in the City 3, or
oh my gosh,
something
really?
Like that. Yeah, and each episode, the guest comes on with an idea of what Sex and the City 3 would be.
Okay.
And then the guest and her improvise the whole movie. And so they come up with the entire plot of the movie.
Gosh.
And I was a guest on it.
Oh, nice.
And so my episode will be coming out soon. It's not out yet, but it'll be coming out soon. But it's so, we had the best time. So, you know,
so
I came in with my idea, so you can hear it out over there.
Okay.
But that podcast is so funny and she's so great. But this show, I just think they're not going to get rid of this franchise, because that's what it is. Like a comic book or something.
Yeah.
It's a well-oiled machine of money. So I think they're going to do something with it, whether it be, you know, a reboot or a continuation of The Girls or an animated series. I would watch
series.
That. I would watch that. I would watch it. So who are you? If you had a, are you a more of a Carrie or whatever?
Thought along about this. Mm-hmm. It's like my Myers-Briggs quiz that I do every year. Like I reconceptualize who I am every year. So I have a terrible answer. I'm a third of Carrie, a third of Miranda, and a third of Samantha. I'm zero Charlotte.
I'm a Charlotte.
Yes, think, you are. You are a Charlotte.
A Charlotte.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I'm mostly a Charlotte.
I think you're like a Charlotte with
a little
Carrie.
A little Magda. A little. Yeah. I love Charlotte. I love Charlotte so much. Okay, so I want to do some quick lightning round questions about Sex and the City, and then we're going to get to Roni. So Big or Aiden? I'm an Aiden.
Like for me or for Carrie?
For Carrie.
Aiden.
Yeah, me too. Who was the hottest man on Sex and the City? I think that Smith Jared was the hottest of all the men. Dang. And then also the priest that Samantha tried to sleep with.
I mean, Justin Theroux.
Oh, yeah.
Even though, because he was still like his nerdy hotness. Uh-huh. I was into that.
Are Cosmos good? The drink.
I don't know that I've ever had one.
What?
I know. I don't know. We should be drinking them now.
Okay. So in terms of a Roni, we're going to transition flawlessly. Okay. I might add. So who are the girls? So I would say.
Okay.
Sonia's Samantha, right?
Okay.
You don't feel that way?
No. But I'll let you have your explanation.
Okay. So I'll just say I think Sonia's the floozy, the very sex positive one. I think Lou wants to be the Samantha, but I don't think that Lou is. I think Sonia is more the Samantha.
Okay.
Because she's constantly talking about sex and she's, again, very sex positive. I think Carol's the Carrie and I think Bethany is the Miranda.
Okay.
Ultimately. I think Bethany kind of wants to be the Carrie, but I think Carol is the Carrie because she's got the writing thing. She's got the fashions and I don't know. I mean, it's, let me keep going.
Okay.
So, and I think Ramona's the Charlotte.
Okay.
Right?
I have very different opinions.
Okay, that's mine. I would also say that, let's see, Tinsley is maybe someone from the pilot that was never seen again. One of the forgettable people that was cast in the pilot. Even though I love Tinsley.
Okay.
I do love Tinsley. And then Luann, who would Luann be? I don't know who Luann be. I think I did take some notes, though, and I wrote that I think Jules would be J-Hud. Because she's the only person of color at ever be on Real Housewives.
Sure, but she can't do a damn thing. So I don't think she'd be a very good assistant.
Tell me who your picks are.
Okay, controversial.
Yeah.
Carol is Carrie because she is a writer. She's inquisitive of the human experience through her journalism career. However, she is like misguided in love and is sort of like broken in that way.
And picks bad.
Picks bad men, and but at the same time, she's not like on a path for, you know, a picket fence and five babies and to be married by 35. Mm-hmm. Like, she never was on that path. So that's why I think Carol is Carrie. I think Tinsley is Charlotte.
Okay.
Because she's the most conservative and sort of wants the traditional culturalisms, you know? She wears, like, fit and flare dresses.
Fashion-wise, she's very Charlotte. Oh, yeah.
Like, she just looks that way. And also, I think, like, the southernness of, like, she thinks that certain things are proper. You know, like, when you have people over, you have a charcuterie plate. Mm-hmm. Like, even though you don't know how to say charcuterie.
Sure.
And then I think Bethany is Samantha.
Why?
Because she's the ball buster, yeah. Like, boss bitch. And she's sort of disconnected from feelings, and she's sex positive.
Isn't that sort of Miranda too, though?
No, see, I think Miranda. I don't think there's a single Miranda on any of the Housewives.
Really? Why?
Because I don't think a Miranda would be on a Housewives.
Yeah. Best answer ever.
Like Miranda is a cynic.
Yeah.
I think that's her like main identifying characteristic. She's a little cynical about all things and then comes around.
I'm trying to think now. Is there anyone cynical in Housewives?
Yeah. I mean, I just don't think there's a Miranda.
What about, who do you think Ramona and Sonia would be?
I mean, I don't think either of them are perfectly an archetype, but if I had to, I would put Sonia into like the Samantha category because she is so sex positive and forward. And Ramona, though, like, Ramona's hard. Like, I think Ramona is an old Carrie.
See, I think that Ramona... Wow.
I know. Because Carrie's kind of messy.
Also, Ramona used to write for Cosmo. Do you remember?
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. My flashback in my mind, that weird picture of Ramona in a bathing suit.
Yeah, she was doing weights. It was like a fitness picture.
Oh, my God.
I just watched that episode for Patreon, and it's, like, so batshit. Okay, so, yeah, I think you're right.
I mean, I rocked your world with those.
I think I'd like encourage everyone that's listening to do their own little list. Okay, so let's talk about the Roni episode from this week. So this is the first episode post-arrest. The episode before ended with Lou slipping out of those cuffs.
Oh my God, so elegantly too when she did that.
And before we talk about this week's episode, I want to say that we forgot in our last recap to talk about Luann and that loser scene.
Oh my God, yes. I was devastated that we didn't talk about that.
I know. It was just
I'm not a loser.
If I'm a loser. My voice hurts so bad for a week. I'm a loser, then so is everyone else, or no one else is or something.
And then she's like, I'm a
water. Water. Oh, I can't do Lou. I gotta stop with my Lou impression because it hurts my throat. Okay, so this week it's the first episode post arrest. Dorinda, we're catching up with all the girls after the holidays. There was a holiday break. Dorinda's in with a cane because she dropped a giant salt shaker on her foot, which I don't understand why she had such a large salt shaker.
That was concerning.
What was that for?
I don't know.
What was she cooking?
And it related to Richard somehow? Like, I was confused by that.
I don't know. The ghost of Richard threw salt shaker. Foot. But
can I tell you that I was in a boot like that last year?
Yes. I was troubled by her cane.
Yeah, I did have a cane for a couple days, and then I gave it up. Canes are actually pretty helpful. So, you know, they have serve a good purpose. But that boot is, like, hard to walk in.
Yeah.
So when And Dorinda was like walking to go sit on the park bench. And she's like, whoa, I'm going downhill in this boot. And it's like hard. I was like, girl, I know. Yeah. I've been there.
Dorinda down.
And by the way, I was in a boot because I was so drunk that I fell over.
Oh my God. Yeah. You know, I was drunk playing kickball with our friend Brett. And I fell and broke my foot. And I
broke it?
Yeah. And Jill, our other good friend Jill, she took me to the hospital and I was so wasted. And we were at the emergency room and then I was just such a mess. And we did like a photo shoot because we thought it'd be funny. Like while we were waiting for the doctor at the hospital, I was like, take some photos, you know? And so I have all these dramatic photos. It was right around the time Mariah Carey got that arm injury or elbow injury.
Oh,
And there were all these pictures she was posting on social media, very dramatic of like this. What's it called? The thing that wrapped her
sling.
And there were all the, she was fashionable, but they were real dramatic with like her eyes closed and everything. And so we tried to recreate that photo shoot at me at the hospital. So there's, we have all these dramatic photos of me drunk at the hospital.
Please post one.
I'll have to find, well, this is also neither here nor there, but Jill had brought me a change of clothes to wear at the hospital because I was in my kickball uniform.
Yeah.
And she brought these shorts that were like see-through. They were like they were like mesh yellow shorts, but I was drunk, so I put them on. And so like all the pictures, you can see it all. So I probably won't be posting those photos.
I mean, I'm sure people would love, some people would love it.
I don't know. But so Dorinda's in the boot and then Bethany's, you know, she only has her driver to talk to because she has no one in her life.
That's and God amazing. Bless her driver. He works all hours. And then he has to be her car mate, like her buddy.
I know. It just really bums me out. I think more than anything else, I know Luann was arrested, but I'm more discouraged by Bethany's scenes with her driver than anything else in the series. It's just, I find it so sad.
I want him
dark.
To have a testimonial.
Me too.
Like, yeah. Or like a web series where it's just his testimonial, like reacting.
Kevin.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were all talking. So we were checking in with all the girls and they were all talking about Luann's arrest. And she's talking to her driver about it. And it's like, I don't think he gives a fuck, but he's got to listen to all her stuff.
Yep.
You know, they're
part
together.
Of the job.
I don't know. It's just so, it's so gross.
I really wish we had cameras on them when they first heard the news because this was so delayed that I know they already gossiped about it. Mm-hmm. I love that they tried to have Tinsley and Carol like recreate. They're like, oh my God, did you see? Whereas like, you know, those people were screaming and like, oh my God, because we were all doing that.
Sure. So, I mean, it was Christmas Eve. I've never had a better Christmas.
Best Christmas.
Never. My holiday was so good. I was just in complete heaven. But they also, Carol pretended like she got a call about it. And it's like, you saw it on the news. Like, I got a Google alert to my phone.
Right,
like, you didn't get a phone call from a friend. And then I love how Tinsley said she texted Lou and offered her a drink.
Yes.
Come over to drink, girl.
Yeah, come over, have a drink. We'll be fine. That shows how much Tinsley has grown from her arrest, I feel like.
Do you know that the day this all happened, Lou was commenting on my Instagram.
Yes.
Did I
tell
you this?
You did tell me.
It's like my
so
best thing.
So good.
We were going back and forth on Instagram being like, have a great holiday.
Do you think she was drunk while texting?
I don't think it was even her.
Oh,
I think
yeah,
it was
yeah.
like whoever, whatever runs gay her runs media. Her social. But in my head, she was like, you know, wasted at the time in between going into somebody else's hotel room and the cops putting her in the car. She was like commenting on my Insta.
Oh,
that's what happened in my head.
Oh my God.
But so Bethany was kind of being mean when she was telling the driver the story. And she has this side of her where she can just be so mean about everyone. And I don't know if it's because she gets confused the mean versus funny.
Yeah.
But it's something happens where sometimes Bethany is not coming across as snarky or fun. She's coming across as just like mean.
Yeah. She does not have a good barometer of that.
No, not at all.
I had to rewind it a couple of times because I was confused what connection she was trying to make when she said, oh, I was lucky enough, though, to have, like, the last good night out with Luann.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, what? Because they're flashing back to Halloween.
To Halloween.
I was so confused by that. And I guess she meant, like, fun night, meaning a drunk-ass Luann. It was just kind of rude and dark thing to say. Weird. And then, of course, she was in blackface. So, like, that was weird, too. Like, it was weird to say that.
Yeah.
It's not a supportive.
You know, vote. Fortunately, we had Tinsley to brighten it up by saying that she's also been in West Palm Beach in handcuffs. Yes.
And she knew the name of the road.
And
she,
I...
which was, like, Gun yes. Road or something. It was weird.
Whitney, I had one of those moments where I stood up and I just felt like so much joy in my life. Like my blood was rushing. I was just so many endorphins and everything. And I thought, we're so lucky to have two housewives on this franchise who've both been arrested in West Palm Beach, which is not the city that we're filming in.
Right. Yeah.
This is another city. But two of our seven gals have been in the West Palm Beach jail.
We need to go to West Palm Beach.
I know we should. They should do, you know how in New York they do Sex and the City tours?
Yes, they should do one of Palm Beach for sure.
I would love that. I love that Tinsley has been arrested too, but Tinsley pointed out she was she didn't have four felonies. Luann has four felonies.
Yeah, that is intense.
Yeah. We cut to Ramona, and Ramona said, you know, she's not in a good place with Bethany. They're starting to talk about Bethany's skinny girl launch party.
Yeah.
And they do a flashback of Ramona in that phone call. And I just want to say that it was just an iconic phone call. Yeah. I don't know if we really like laid that out last week. No,
it's going to be one of my clips that lives with me forever.
Yeah. But they introduced the fact that Bethany's having this skinny girl launch for her jeans, which I don't know. It's troubling. But so now we're still catching up with everyone. We get to Sonia. Sonia is
a mess.
She's a mess. Like she is.
She's reached peak Grey Gardens.
I don't even know if I feel like she's sort of leaned into this Grey Gardens thing, but it's also it's not put on. I think it's her.
It's real. She had like six eyeglasses on her bed.
I know. I wrote down. Look, I took notes. I tried to write down all the things. She had a container store envelope.
Which I wanted to know what was in them.
I know. She had 100 glasses. She had two remotes. She had bills. She had a jury duty notice. She had cold meds, a nail clipper, a toenail clipper, by the way. She had a pencil, soup bowl, day pills.
What are day
pills? She had night pills, but she couldn't find her day pills. She had a purse. She had a newspaper. She had both kind of underwear, dirty and new underwear.
So gross.
She sniffed her bad underwear. It was just, I mean, it was a lot. In general, I was like, what the fuck else are we going to find in this bed? You know, like, I wouldn't be surprised if there was a dead animal.
It made me think, like, when was the last time she changed those sheets?
I know. Ugh. I don't even want to think about that. Then we get a scene with Ramona, who's with Dr. Amy Lewis, I believe her name is. I wrote it down. And I had a very big problem with this scene.
Because
I was wondering where Dr. Sharon Geese is.
Yeah, why isn't she doing it with Dr. Sharon Geese?
I was shook, Whitney.
I'm invested in her.
Who is this woman that's coming in and taking over for Sharon Geese?
I know. I don't know.
I don't know. But Ramona always worked with Sharon Geese. Yeah. And this woman looked like an Amy Adams lookalike.
Just because she had red hair?
Deborah Messner. She like sort of looked like Amy Adams.
Oh, okay.
I really want Amy Adams to play her in a movie. Okay. What else? Where are we at here? Okay, so we are introduced to Ramona's skincare line, which she had one before, but now she's going to have a new one.
Wasn't that called like True Revisions or
True
something?
Renewal. True Renewal. Mm-hmm. She came out with that when she got that Cameron Diaz haircut. Remember?
Yes. Oh, yeah. It was great for her. That was similar to when Carrie chopped off all her hair.
Oh, yeah.
In my opinion.
Or Felicity.
No, Felicity was just
ruined the show. When
that
she
was real
did
bad.
That. We do get a little unseen footage around this time of Bethany learning that she's going to get the Nutcracker.
Yes.
Which we didn't see last week, which actually changed my opinion on the whole
thing.
Interesting.
Okay, I was going to ask you, because she did say thank you.
Yeah, I think last week I was on Dorinda's side on the Nutcracker argument, and then this week seeing that extra footage where it was at the Berkshires. So we saw Bethany reacting there, and then we saw her reacting when she got the Nutcracker, and I thought I was on Bethany's side for this one.
Interesting.
Were you not?
No, it didn't really absolve her to me.
She did say thank you, though, didn't she?
She said thank you at the Berkshires, and she was like, give them my credit card. Yeah. I'll buy anything they have, which, again, is just, like, so Bethany to say. Oof. But then, again, like, when it was delivered, and she just sort of, like, put on that weird fucking scene.
Yeah.
So weird.
Water. Sorry. Okay. Then we're at the skinny girl party, which was it looked like a nice party, but it's too much fucking self-promotion. And then also, Bethany, this really bugged me, and I'm curious to get your take on it, but she was bragging about being inclusive to women, and
oh my God.
I don't know, it just that bugged me.
It was weird. it was like trying to shoehorn her brand into what's going on currently in culture.
She doesn't support women.
Calling jeans a woman's empowerment brand is fucking tone deaf.
Yeah.
You could say it's all size inclusive. That's cool. But for her to be like, and it's all cultures inclusive, it's like, do black women wear different jeans than white women?
Right,
like,
right.
It just felt really gross. Right.
I couldn't believe she had the audacity to say that.
Audacity.
As Ramona would say, I can't believe she had the audacity.
And I wonder where these are going to be sold.
Did you hear the Dorinda shade? So Dorinda was on Heather McDonald's podcast, and Heather McDonald asked her, you know, do you like the jeans or something along those lines? Uh-huh. And Dorinda said, you know, no comment, or, you know, moved on. And then Dorinda said, I really liked her bologna. She had cold cuts for 5 minutes. She had cold cuts for 5 minutes. So it was like, the cold cuts are no longer.
Wait, I thought she still has food. She doesn't have food anymore?
I don't think she has the cold cuts.
Cold cuts.
No, I don't think you get the bologna, the skinny girl bologna or ham. I know, that's so gross. You know that I love the skinny girl half-calf cake cups. Those are my favorite.
Honestly, I thought that like the coffee and the booze are the only things that still exist.
And then I also just felt so tired of seeing the Skinny Girl logo. And I've always been a supporter of this brand.
Yeah, no, I'm supportive of it.
But I'm starting to get like the other girls fatigue in the cast are, where I'm like, okay, yeah, enough.
Yeah.
Enough.
Note to self. I don't need to see that.
I think she needs a little bit of a brand reboost. Now, look, I'm no PR maven like Bethany says she is. But I think she needs to get rid of the Skinny Girl logo with the, you know, like emaciated woman.
So you think Alex McCord should design something?
Yes, let's do that. And like, I get that she's co-opted Red, but it's like, what are we? Are we a fashion brand? Are we a booze brand? Because it's weird.
Is it for
that it's all
men
things,
or is it for, because gay men buy a lot of skinny girl
fuck
stuff.
Yeah.
But then it's very confusing.
It's weird.
And also, I just feel like she should stick to certain things.
Yeah.
I totally am happy that she's expanding the brand to different products, but I just think there should be some sort of focus.
I agree. Yeah. And by the way, their plus size model was like hardly plus size, but
yeah, I know. So the girls that were showing up, we had Tinsley, Sonia, and Dorinda. Luann was, of course, in rehab. And then Ramona was uninvited or not invited. Tinsley came and
on a plane.
Tinsley wanted red wine, and then she got the skinny girl drink instead, and she got a little tipsy, and I loved it. And then Sonia turned vegan.
That was
so funny.
Funny.
Oh my God.
She was vegan a couple episodes back, but for her to like arrive and be like, I'm the only eating vegetables.
This was like the fun Sonia, yes, you know, her interacting with people in the, you know, and the real world. It was, yes, like, I love seeing Sonia with anyone that's not a cast member.
Right.
She's fun with cast members too. Mm-hmm. But when she's interacting with people that are just trying to do their jobs and go about their day, it's so, so funny. And she was telling everyone about how she's vegan, and then she, the raw bar.
Oh
my God. She looked at it. She's like, a raw bar? A raw bar?
Did you say something like, I'm vegan except when there's shellfish because it's raw?
She said, because it's raw. She said she eats shellfish because it's raw.
And then she tried to eat the seaweed.
I know. And the guy just like laughed. And you could see the guy on the...
He laughed, but he was also concerned because she was destroying his presentation.
She's like, it's a delicacy. She is just a mess. But then Dorinda and Bethany have a little conversation. Dorinda throws... Oh,
that conversation was good.
It was good. And she threw Carol under the bus.
Yeah, a little bit. I actually... Bethany's take on like her throwing her under the bus, I thought was actually a little harsh. I thought really she was just trying to give context. Like, Bethany doesn't see context. She just sees like winning and losing. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm, I think she was like, she's got to throw her under the bus now. But it's like... Dorinda was trying to squash it. She was like, I was upset, but now I'm good, so we can be good, right?
Yeah.
And then Bethany just wanted to make her feel bad for feeling bad.
Right.
It was weird.
Yeah. But I mean, Bethany knows what she's doing. She's smart when it comes to all of that. Then we get a little bit of Sonia flirting with Taylor, the blonde waiter.
Who literally is probably hired just so she can do that.
right. But he was so hot. I found him very attractive, and I'd risk it all
like
for
Smith.
Him. Yeah, he did. Right. He looked like Smith,
yeah.
Jerry. He was 26, which Sonia said was... you know, too old or something, or yes, like two in the middle. I loved her reasoning.
Very weird reasoning. Yeah.
So Dorinda and Bethany move on, and then they're all the girls get together and they start talking about Luann together.
Yes.
And I loved that Dorinda just kept saying that it could have happened to any of us. And I just thought, like, really? Like, it could have happened to any of us? Like, we all could have assaulted a police officer.
Slipped out of handcuffs and threatened to kill everyone.
And look, it's so fun, but I think when you start to think of it, gosh, And this is going to be a Debbie Downer moment.
Yeah, no, I get it.
But, you know, I think we talked about it last week. You mentioned it last week. It's like when you think about if Luann was a black person.
Yeah.
She could be dead, right? Like, you know, it's like when you think of it in the context of her white privilege. I don't know. We won't have to go deep.
I know, but just the fact that Tinsley's like, ha, 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 like, I have only a misdemeanor. I was like, this is so miscited.
I know. And Dorinda, it could happen to any of us.
Yeah, oh my God.
Could have been me. Could have been you. So then we get the next day of Bethany and Carol meeting.
This was major, Danny.
I felt really shook by all of this because it was, I don't know. I'm very troubled by their friendship. Tell me your thoughts.
Okay, so I've had a conversation like this. I am...
Who are you? The Carol or the Bethany?
I was Carol.
Okay.
I am a confrontational person. I need to talk it out. I need everything to be heard. I need it all on the table to move forward. That's just who I am. So I thought Carol came with the respect that was needed because of their close friendship. She didn't want to text about it. Mm-hmm. She didn't want to sweep it under the rug. She wanted to solve this. It seems like she thought it wasn't really that bad. It was just maybe like they, you know, were both busy with their own things for a while and then production started and everyone gets involved. And she wanted to sort of lock it up and be like, we're okay. But instead, Bethany calls this whole scene at the Berkshires. Mm-hmm. So she came to this meeting, I feel like, to be like, let's hash it out. Let's hear each other soberly and do it. And Bethany came to fucking fight.
Yeah.
And she didn't want anything to be settled. She just wanted to like tussle. And yes, she showed up like kind of broken and was like all upset because I think it finally sunk in that she fucked up this friendship. Whether,
Bethany had mentioned earlier that over the holidays she felt depressed and alone.
Yes, which it's a good time for reflection. So I think she probably was coming thinking, okay, I want also this to like go away, but she wanted it to go away versus hash it out. And so she came like a tornado and just wanted to like fight. She didn't really want to put anything to bed. And she didn't. Bethany's biggest problem is she doesn't want to hear people. Mm-hmm. She won't hear people. And all Carol wanted was to hear her out. Like if Bethany simply said, I hear you, I disagree, but I hear you, let's move forward. That's all. Carol's a reasonable enough person. That would have been enough for her. But she didn't even want to fucking take a second.
Carol, I don't think Carol was looking for a fight.
No.
I don't think Carol wanted this fight. She didn't want the storyline of it. She seemingly wanted to just get past it. But it was kind of Bethany who was just not able to let it go.
And she's been stoking the fire.
Bethany also did something that I don't think you should ever do, which Carol and Adam had seemingly broken up and Bethany started talking a lot of shit about Adam, which you can't ever do with relationships, especially once, unless it's like a 3-month thing or something. Like if people were together 3-6 months and they break up, fine, talk shit about them. But Carol and Adam have been together for a while. So I don't think as a friend, you shouldn't talk shit about the ex.
Yeah.
You should just zip your mouth shut. Say, you say, oh, good for you. I'm glad you got out of this relationship. You're happy, whatever. Supportive in that way.
Good for you, whatever.
But don't start saying, oh, Adam's a user, operator. That was the word that I used.
I hate to say this, but it was so childish. Mm-hmm. Like, you can, if Carol's talking shit about him, then you can, like, I think you could then contribute, but you're not leading that charge. Like,
yeah, girl.
Yeah, girl. You're like, oh, yeah. I'm like, sure, that probably annoyed me too. Like, whatever. But you don't, like, bring up things. You support and nod and whatever.
Just keep your mouth shut.
Just keep your mouth shut. And also, it was just like, if you really hated him that much, then why did you hang out with him all the time?
Yeah, it was just not. She's old enough to know that that's not something you do.
Yeah.
So my question is Bethany the Jill in this situation? Do you remember when Bethany and Jill had their falling out in season 3? I feel, and I have seen other people talk about this on the interwebs, that Bethany is sort of turned into the Jill and Carol is the Bethany of this situation. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure it's entirely a great
assessment.
But
yeah, but I think what Jill did was she kept stoking the fire. And Bethany is doing that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so sad to watch. Much like Jill and Bethany, because they were true friends. You could tell off camera, outside of the show, they were friends. And it's just so sad. But this is the drama I come for.
I know. It's really good drama. I mean, because it's real. Yeah. I really am enjoying it. But then we get Sonia. Speaking of friends, Sonia and Tinsley are friends now. Sonia's staying with Tinsley. And she gave her all this stuff. And I didn't know where Tinsley got the money from.
I don't know where she gets any of her money.
How did she pay for this penthouse?
I mean, I'm guessing production, but yeah, I don't know.
It would seem like a lot, but
she has that mailbox money that the Southern Charm cast talks about.
Southern Charm is so upsetting right now. Oh, Ashley. We haven't gotten to talk about it, but Ashley's the worst. Okay, so then we get Dorinda on the phone with Lou. Oh, did you see how Luann's number was saved in Dorinda's phone?
Okay, that is one of my fun yeah, how they save. Like Easter eggs. Like, it's always so funny.
Because it said like Luann or, and then it said...
It was like, I think her email address. Yeah. Really, like, it was so good.
Yeah, I tried to pause that and I literally couldn't make it out. It was like readings. What's that font? Wingdings.
Wingdings.
Okay, so let's see. So then Luann had mentioned on the phone call that she, you know, she was going back to where they had the breakfast and yeah. she was going and doing all these things. And I wondered, have you ever tried to trace a memory like Lou was doing that day? Like something that you remember fondly and you tried to kind of go relive that for nostalgia purpose, but it never ends up feeling the same way.
No, I haven't, but I was just talking with a friend of ours about going back to our college town, and or he was saying, oh, we should go to that old apartment complex we used to live in, and then a friend of ours was like, no, it's never gonna be the same. Don't do it to yourself.
Yeah, it's not. You try to trace a memory and feel it again and it never feels the same.
I don't know, I just don't, can't live in the past.
Yeah. So speaking of the past, it's back to bite us in the ass next week because Jill Zarin's back.
Bobby.
Oh my God, I can't wait. I'm very excited. I'm also very sad. I don't mean to laugh
so
at.
So sad.
And it bugged me even in just the little clip preview where Jill's like, you know, I'm all alone now. And Bethany goes, yeah, I'm alone too. It's like, ugh, really, Bethany? Can you just.
I mean, I see, this is when I then flip back because like, Bethany, but then I'm like, you are alone. Like in your soul, you're alone.
Yeah.
And Jill's now gonna be alone. Yeah. Whereas like Bethany's always kind of alone in her soul.
We gotta find out about Dr. Amador. If she's still got Dr. Amador.
She's clearly not in therapy currently. So mean.
Oh my gosh. So that was Housewives of New York, Roni. I love the girls.
Love them. Good. They're our Sex and the City girls.
Oh, our girls, our gals, our soulmates. Do you remember when Vicki Gunvalson yelled at Tamara and she's like, you're supposed to be my friend, my sister, my soulmate?
Oh, never forget it. The face that she made.
My soulmate, my sister.
And she was like spitting. Yeah.
It was so good. What else? Anything else we have to talk about? That's it. And I didn't mention this in the intro, but please rate and review this podcast on iTunes if you get a chance. It's super helpful. I love reading the reviews. And again, I know it's a pain in the ass, but it's very, very helpful for booking guests and for getting us on the iTunes charts and all that stuff.
Woo-hoo.
So please do it, you guys. Please. Yep. Thank you all for listening. Find me on social media. Are you going to give people your social media? Because some people ask me, they're like, what's Whitney's social media? I'm like, I've asked you before, but you...
I need to reboot it. I will soon.
Okay. But so I just want people to know that I'm not like purposely not giving out your social media.
Right. I am currently dark on social media.
Right. Well, you need to get light.
I need to see the light. Mm-hmm.
So find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino. Join the Facebook group. And thank you all for listening. I love you all for listening. Kisses. Bye.